Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to TMGS. This is the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6:10 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:10 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is February the 3rd, 2024, and yes, I'm a little behind schedule because a lot of things have been happening this week. I've had for quite a while, this phone service for a while, and my phone started acting really, really crazy, and it decided to just say, you know what, Michael, this is it. Last time you were going to be using me, so I'm going to go ahead and just shut down on your ass and see what you're going to do after that. So after spending 20 years with one phone provider, I finally moved over to a new provider. Just the process was just amazing, where you have to get the former phone provider's permission to take your old phone number or your present phone number and change it over to a new provider. And that was like pulling teeth. And it's been that way. And so I've been running around, and I just walked in the door, to be honest. I'm like 10 minutes late to start the show. Just walked in the door, and from doing a lot of little, you know, errands I have to do and be able to get back here to do the show. I see that the chat room is open. Bring It Boy is here. Hello, Bring It Boy. Thank you for joining. Let me see here. Let's see. My co-host here, she's just talked to her. She should be on the board shortly. Hello, Mr. Gay, and to your co-host, Janet. Also, it's the very impressive Officer Crenshaw is here. You know, Officer Crenshaw has been really busy lately. He hasn't been on the show for a minute, and I talked to him not long ago, but he's going to be joining us soon. So just, you know, he just has a lot of things he has to take care of right now. He's got his kids in college and a lot of other things that he's working on. And so he's traveling from Atlanta to where his children go to school, you know, getting them settled and everything. So, yeah, I'll let him know that you asked about it. Okay, so let me see. Cotton Campbell, is that Cotton? Am I being heard? Can you hear me at all? I got the board open. Maybe it's his new phone. I don't know. Let me try something else here. Okay. Hear you now. Okay. All right, fantastic. Okay, so I've been talking to myself all this time. All right, you guys. Okay, so I just got this new phone. All right, so I have to learn what's going on here with this phone. And just got it like a few days ago. So I must have had my stuff on mute, but it didn't look like it. All right, so excuse me, I apologize. Been talking to myself all the time. But Sarge is on the board. Okay, hey, Sarge, what's up? How you doing? All right. So let me go ahead and do this again. I'm sorry that I'm late and everything. Had some things going in, of course. I'm learning this new phone, getting it activated with the show. Well, now the time is 6:20 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:20 on the West Coast, and today is February the 3rd, 2024, and welcome to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm looking at the chat room. I see Bring It Board is here. Bring It Boy is here. Sarge is here. And we got some topics we're going to talk about. And let me see. Janet Davis was here just a moment ago, and I had a few folks that called in. And let me back it up a little bit. Okay. Let me back up just a minute and give you guys a little information of what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Fannie Willis. Yes, she Fannie Willis subpoenaed by the House Republicans, which is that a shock? Because of the fact that allegedly she has admitted she did have an affair with the individual who was involved into this case with Donald, former President Donald J. Trump. And so then this is interesting, but does it really have anything to do with the charges that the grand jury has brought? Does that a relationship really have anything to do with what the investigation was? Okay, so we're going to get into that. And let me see if Janet Davis is going to be able to call back in shortly again. New phone, new things to learn. Also, we're going to look into, well, there's a lot of things. Oklahoma just recently, in fact, last night, experienced a 5.1 magnitude earthquake. Oklahoma. Now, most people would say about California, well, California's going to fall into the ocean with all the earthquakes they got there. Man, it's going to happen. They were saying this back in the 70s, right? California is going to just disappear off the planet. It's just going to fall into the ocean. It's going to be like, you know, those other ancient cities that just went underneath the ocean. But earthquakes are pretty much all over the world, and many of them do happen. Not as much as California, in the Midwest. What do they call it? Fracking, you know, where they do that type of thing, you know, and then they started noticing there was tremors and stuff like that. But when you go into the Earth's core, you know, you're affecting, you know, some of the places. And we'll talk about that. Again, I see there's a 1111111 number on the board, you know, so hopefully they'll wave their hand once we get into the conversations and share. Let me read what the chat room is saying. Let's see. Bigger Boy says, here in California, okay, you live in California, had enough rain, please no more for a while. Yeah, well, Georgia had the same thing. Sarge says, that is figurative rain, not literal precipitation. Okay, Bigger Boy says, wow, 5.2, that's a good joke. Yes, it is, Bigger Boy. That's a damn good joke. Again, I'll say that where I'm from California, I lived there pretty much most of my younger life up until, I guess, until about maybe my 30s. Yeah, pretty much half my life, back and forth. But I experienced, you know, the 70 earthquakes, the 80s. You name all the major ones that hit California. I was there at the time. Some that hit, you know, back-to-back that were like 6-point-something or 7-point-something, then come back at a 6-point. And then even the little, you know, tremors or aftershocks and all that stuff, you know, when you're California, you kind of get used to it, you kind of. And so that's what's so crazy that living here in the South is that where with tornadoes and hurricanes, you get a warning. Earthquakes, nada. There's no warning about an earthquake whatsoever. It happens. Yeah, Northridge. Looks like the shit done hit the fan. Okay, right. Yeah. Earthquakes, there's no warning. You're right. No warning whatsoever. I'm looking to see if Janet is, she called in. I definitely like for my co-host to be on the board. So let me do me a favor and okay, Cotton Campbell's listening in, I believe, probably online. Okay, cool. Let me text Janet real quick. And also, Timon was scheduled to come on, so let me go ahead and text him. I see 111 finally raised their hand. All right, so I don't know who they are, but 111, you're going to have to wait a minute. Let me go ahead and get my co-host lined up because we're kind of like dealing with a new venture here with me and my new phone, okay? Let's see. Be very patient. I hate dead time. All right, so I think I got that taken care of. All right, so 111, I'm going to go ahead and open up your mic and see who is here. 111, you're on the show.
Hello, Mike. Sarge here. You know, I haven't spoken to you since last year, but I figured, hey,
yeah,
since you're this year, maybe I could take up the slack a little bit.
It's been a minute. Yes, you're right. But guess what? Hold tight and hold that thought because Janet, my co-host, Davis. So, you guys, that is the one and only Sarge is in the house. So I'm thankful that he's joined us, and it's been since last year. But, again, there was an issue with my phone, my new phone. I'm trying to get used to getting it connected with the board. But I see hands are waving. I'm getting everybody on board. So I have to go ahead and say hello to the lady of the house, the one, the only, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins. Dave! Hey, Janet.
Hey, Michael. Good evening. I called in earlier, but you weren't on.
Yeah. Well, I've already made that explanation. I text everybody, at least I thought I did, that would be a few minutes late. But then again, the new phone, I'm trying to, you know, get used to the muting. I had myself on mute. The board was open.
Mm.
People were saying, can't hear you. So, but we're here now. All right. So also, Let me get everybody on board
on,
so we can get to our first call.
I might not be on long because I'm not well, but I'm fine.
I understand, yes. And you did inform me of that beforehand. So let me go ahead and open the mic so everybody can say hello to each other. Got to say hello to this gentleman here all the way from Los Angeles, California, which is known as the capital of earthquakes, Mr. Timon Shield. Hey, Timon.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, man? Janet, how are you? I am on my way to San Diego, bro. So if you hear a car, I have a gig in San Diego. So when I said I'd call you, I said, well, hey, I'll be in the ride, on my way, you know. So trying to keep my eye on traffic and everything. But I am here.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Yeah. We're happy.
Janet, I hope you feel better, Janet.
Yeah, I got a COVID shot and a booster, and it's not going to be
good. Yeah, well, hey, you know what? You're a believer because, you know, they say that a lot of people don't believe in the vaccine. I got mine, too. I got the booster.
Mm-hmm.
I got the shingle shot, you know, and the flu shot. I told them, I don't care what y'all say, you know.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
But hey,
Trump, if you can believe Trump if you want to.
Well, some people say tomato, some people say tomato. You know, I mean, it's all, you know, it's all what your preference is. But what I want to do is go ahead and move forward to the topics because we are late on the show, and Janet did the research on these things. And the first one I want to look at because we in fact, I'm sorry. Let me back up and say this first before we go into the topic. Based on last week's show when we got our special guest, which I think needs to be clarified, Janet. Okay. Atron Hale of the group, Tony, original member of the group, Tony. A lot of people think it's just three guys. No, originally it was six guys in the band. He was our special guest last Saturday, and I truly appreciate him. I'm sure all of us do appreciate him being here on the show. I did play a track by the new group called 3TOB, which is the other members of the band, okay? And the track I played of Atron was not the keyboardist on that particular track called Never Gonna Give You Up, okay? I want to clarify that. He is a member of 3TOB, former member of the original Tony. But the song I played, he was not the individual who wrote or played on that. But he is a member of 3TOB, and he is performing on a lot of the other tracks. So I just want to clarify that. And the only reason why, you know why, Janet, right, I told you, is that Derek D.L.A. Allen called me and said, hey, well, yeah, he is a member, but Derek was the one who played on that particular track. So I apologize on my behalf of the fact that I should have did more research and known of what he played on or what he did not play on. All right, so I'm just letting that be known out of due respect to Derek and to Atron. You know, I should have done more of a research on who's doing what. Because, see, a lot of times there are individuals who do, you know, produce things and they might do things, and some things might be added, right? Some things might change. And I've come to find out to be true with studio production. Things can be changed, okay? And it may not be known to the listening or the buying public. But I just want to get that out the way and get that, you know, understood. If you are not speaking, please put yourself on mute. I'd appreciate that. I do not like noise in the background. Okay, so let's get to the topic at hand. Fannie Willis was accused of having had a relationship with an individual that is, you know, in this whole thing with Donald Trump. And apparently she's come forward and pretty much has admitted, yes, there was an affair. So let me just read a little bit, and then I'm going to let you guys give your opinion of this situation. Will it really affect it? Is it going to make it prolonged? But it's all up to you guys to go ahead and say what you want to say. But let me say this. Fulton D.A. Fannie Willis subpoenaed by House Republicans. The Republican-led House Judiciary Committee on Friday issued a subpoena for Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis over allegations that her office misused federal grant funding. Why it matters. The subpoena is part of a systemic effort by House Republicans, okay, to undermine probes into and prosecutions of former President Trump. Let me let you know, this is from Axios, okay? This is where this story comes from. I always want to make sure where the information comes from. It also says, driving the news in a letter obtained by Axios, Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan, that's that wildfire guy, wrote that his committee's oversight of Willis's office is, quote, is particularly relevant in light of public whistleblower allegations that it has misused federal funding. The letter points to reporting from the Washington Free Beacon that Willis fired an employee who blew the whistle about plans to spend of nearly $500,000 in Justice Department grant funds meant for an at-risk youth program on laptops, travel, and swag. Jordan wrote that the committee is prioritizing this line of inquiry into Willis's use of federal funds over past document requests focused on determining whether her prosecution of Trump is politically motivated. The big picture, since August, House Republicans have been investigating Willis's and others' prosecution of Trump for his efforts to overturn the 2022 election in Georgia. A trio of House committees wrangled with Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg last spring, including by subpoenaing two ex-prosecutors from his office who resigned over his initial unwillingness to pursue Trump. Jordan has also targeted the Justice Department and DOJ Special Counsel Jack Smith, who is prosecuting Trump for his alleged role in January 6th and his retention of classified documents following his presidency. The question is this. Here's the question about her having an affair, right? And apparently she has admitted to what's the gentleman's name again? Can you guys hear me?
Nathan Wade is his name.
Nathan Wade, I'm sorry, I couldn't hit it. Okay, so, all right, so there's a thing of where allegedly with this, you know, affair that they had, he got the position, he got this and that and the other and everything. Okay, so does that, okay, in your opinion, and I'm sure Sarge has his opinion because Sarge is a Trump supporter, there's no need to deny that. Should this case be dropped based on that? Or should it continue based on the investigation of it and the fact that a jury heard the evidence and decided that the case should go forward? Your opinion first, and I want to let everybody else be able to chime in.
Well, are you calling on me there, sir? Because I'd be happy to lead off.
Yeah, I'm asking you. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes, and then I want to go ahead and give everybody else a chance to respond to what your response is. Do you think that the case should be dropped? Because that's pretty much what Republicans want and Donald Trump wants to be dropped because based on an affair that they had, Nathan Wade and his wife apparently are going through a divorce process. Should that affect an investigation into wrongdoing by the former president to drop the whole thing based on a relationship. I want you to respond to that, because that's what they're asking for, and then I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to respond, and then I want to go ahead and give everybody else a chance.
Well, I think I can best respond that with her very own words. I don't need to actually put mine in there. I can use her very own arguments for the fact as to why she should either recuse herself or be recused by a disqualifying inquiry. Now, it is really illuminating is that how many of these leftist progressives or those of the leftist progressive persuasion impute unto others the very sort of misconduct that they themselves are actually committing. And now, to wit, Bonnie Willis, I saw this. I've got at least 4 interviews that she conducted when she was on the campaign trail running against her opponent, who was also enmeshed in a series of personal scandals. It's rather ironic, I think. And anyway, she said in these interviews, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but you can go on the web and find them yourself, and you'll see that my summation is very accurate. She said that Fulton County deserved a DA who was not having sexual relationships with the subordinates and colleagues. She was very adamant about this point. And she also said that such lapses on the part of such an elected official would inevitably lead to corruption and malfeasance. Now, I remember I saw 4 interviews of her where she spoke in a similar vein on the local news networks. Now, in her most recent court filing in response to a disqualification motion, which was filed by one of the defendants in the case, Michael Roman. Now, understand, the defense counsel who brought all of this up was not Donald Trump. It was Michael Roman is a defendant in the alternate electors charges, the fake, which is not true. She just made that up. But she accused him of being part of a cabal of fake electors that were illegally submitted to replace the actual ones certified by the state of Georgia. That's not true, but that's okay. Another story. And in response to this motion by his defense counsel, she said that none of the allegations filed by the defense counsel had any merit, and it should all be summarily dismissed without even an evidentiary hearing. I find this really remarkable, and this has caused me to think about this. Now, she was actually truly committed on a principled. Now, I'm only saying this from her point of view, because I don't believe there's any merit to any of this. I know why this is being done.
I want you to finish out, because I want to go ahead and get everybody around the board and come back to you. I'm just asking you a yes or no question. Based on the situation, I was asking, is this a reason to throw the whole case out? So, and then we'll go back into where you can give us a little more detail of what you're trying to explain now. I'm just trying to get a yes or no answer from everybody and just a brief response to it, and then we can come back to it. Do you think the case should be thrown out based on this relationship that she had with, you know, another individual that is prosecuting Donald Trump? Yes or no?
Well, I believe it should have been thrown out on arraignment. I never think – I don't think there's any base for it ever to have been filed in the first place. But since it is, if she was truly committed on a principled basis from her point of view and her point of view only, then you would think she would step down in favor of another prosecutor from Fulton County who is not tainted in any such way. But since I am positive to
fair
a
enough.
Moral certainty
– okay, fair enough, but I have to move forward. Let me, and with all due respect, let me move forward. Same question I'm going to ask. I want to go ahead, and Janet, I'm going to let you go ahead and respond last, but let me go to Timon Schiff. Same question. Should they be able to say and tell a judge, hey, look, we need to go ahead and just dismiss this based on this new thing about the relationship between the two individuals? What's your thoughts on it?
No.
Okay. Then briefly tell us why, and then let me move on to the next individual.
Because
and
it has
response.
Nothing to do with the case. Sleeping with another individual has nothing. Sleeping with whoever you slept with, proven that they did not use anybody's money or someone else's money, whatever they did, having sex with whoever you had sex with, that doesn't have anything to do with what they did, which was putting in phony electors, okay, because they've already got four people who've already pleaded guilty to the charges, okay? Now, is it poor judgment on her part? Poor judgment, but let it be known that the reason why she picked Wade is because other guys would not accept to take that on because they were already being death threats. They did not want death threats on their families because you do know Fawny has death threats upon her for taking on this case. As every other judge in any other of the other cases, everybody's got security now because of him. If he's as innocent as they say he is, then why have all these death threats on me? With Democrats aren't putting death threats on Republicans. They ain't promising. Ain't no, you ain't heard nobody talk about killing no Republicans and nobody going running to the FBI trying to shoot nobody or anything like that. Now, is it poor judgment on Fawny's part? Yes, it is. But she only picked him, and he is a former judge. It ain't like he's some lightweight. They do have all the credentials. They have all the information. It will be up to the judge on February 15th to find if she should recuse herself from this case. I leave it up to the judge. But no, I do not think, because it has nothing to do. One does not have to do with the other.
Hello?
Yes, Janet, and your thoughts on it?
I totally agree with everything that Time and Ship has said about the case. And I just want to add one thing. Donald Trump, find me 11,780 votes caught on tape that you can't get rid of that. I mean, it came out of his mouth. I totally agree with everything that Tynan said. I don't think they should throw the case out. I think that maybe she should recuse herself, but whatever she did in private had nothing to do with the actual case.
Okay, let me go ahead. I see another hand being waved. I want to get everybody else's response before I go back around to you, Sarge, and anybody else who wants to respond. 909-319 is chiming in. I think this might be Bringing Boy calling in to the show, but maybe not. I'm going to open up your mic. Welcome.
Hello.
What's your as far as question
Suzanne.
I just posed? 909-319?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Hello, Michael. Janet.
Hey.
Hello, my name.
And if you should talk to everybody else who don't know who you are.
This is Suzette. I'm calling from California, Southern California.
Okay.
my thoughts. Well, okay, so the reason why it matters is, as far as their relationship goes, is because she has a RICO expert on her team. She and her, this gentleman that she hired the day after he had gotten divorced, which isn't a big deal, but the amount of money that she's paying him and why she's paying him as far as that type of expertise, he may have credentials in law, but he has no credentials as far as RICO and any type of prosecution. He was in family law before and a family law judge. So he is to be respected as far as his accomplishments and his credentials go. But to prosecute a case like this, which is a high-profile case, you would think that she, would have chosen the one that she has on her team. As far as he is a RICO expert, he's written law books on it. He has extensive knowledge on the subject and has prosecuted RICO cases in the past. Now, the two have met with the White House prior to indicting President Trump, White House counsel, twice. And so the judge that's presiding over whether or not she needs to testify or not, or just her the gentleman that she hired, I can't remember what his name is, you just said it, but it escapes me. But anyway,
Wade,
okay, Mr. Wade. So as far as that's why it matters, because the White House and the White House counsel should have no say-so as far as an indictment in Georgia. Why are they meeting? They had told the judge that's presiding over this before the pretrial stuff, said that there's no reason for, I don't see any reason why there would need to, why you would need to meet. I understand they sent you a correspondence of one letter, and then the attorney on Fannie Willis's team said, well, actually it was two, and they said it was for logistics, didn't want to reveal the letters to the judge. Sorry, go ahead.
But let me ask you this question real quick. I'm sorry to intervene, because I mean, I'm listening to what everybody's response is. You know, there's some that say that, okay, you and Sarge are in agreement that, yes, that they should be recused from this case.
Mm-hmm.
Janet and also Timon said, no, should not take effect. But, you know, when you're talking about the money of him making more money, okay, is there a cap on what he can be paid? Apparently, that has not been an issue by them having, as Timon said, by them having, there hasn't been an issue about a cap on it. Did she go over the cap? And then the thing is about him being qualified to do it. Well, wouldn't that be beneficial to Donald Trump's defense team if they have a less qualified lawyer to go up against? Wouldn't they be able to shred him the pieces,
if she recused herself, if she recused herself, then they would just replace her with somebody else. It wouldn't mean the case would be dismissed or stopped. It would continue, but just with somebody else.
What I'm saying is this. If what is looking at, okay.
I see what you're saying.
She put him in the position, okay, but let me finish it, that allegedly she put him in the position due to their relationship. He is inexperienced in these type of cases is what they're saying. And why would she do that? Mm-hmm. Because of their relationship that they had, right? So what if he was recused and then a person who has more experience was replaced? Right now they're saying that, well, he got the job because they were sleeping together. Well, okay, so if they remove him and they replace him with something, with someone with more experience, wouldn't that be kind of, I would think as Donald Trump's defense attorneys, I would be like, well, no, I'd rather have a less experienced lawyer or prosecutor to go after than one that has more experience. Wouldn't that make more sense? You understand what I'm asking?
Certainly. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you also want justice to be done as well.
You would really want a rookie there that you could chop down than more of a veteran lawyer against a Donald Trump, wouldn't you?
Certainly. But he's actually not the one prosecuting Donald Trump. He's actually, his position is an advisor.
He's investigating. He's part of the investigation, right?
He's more of an advisor to counsel, and so that's where the other guy would come in handy as far as RICO goes. That's where people have a problem with.
Investigation, approving on some of the stuff. Right, he has to, okay, advisor. So an advisor has to know what's going on in the investigation in order to advise on how to move forward into the investigation. An advisor has access to all that information, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You would think, right?
I would think, yeah. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's
so,
just a matter of conflict of interest, but I don't think the Republicans...
Would you take someone who's less experienced and replace them with someone who's more experienced?
Well, I would think so, yes. But to get to your question about whether or not there's a cap on his salary, she actually did not speak, or she did not get permission to hire him, number one, and she didn't ask for the funds to pay. She didn't get approval for what she is paying him to do his job. So the city council right now, or I guess it's city or county, that's reviewing it, and they're looking at the amount of billing that's coinciding with other things and what she's paying out to him, and she didn't have permission. And so her response to that was, well, there is no cost for justice, or there is no cost limit for justice. So they weren't happy with that because they're getting backed up in her office as far as her cases go. But the first thing is the fact that she didn't ask for permission to hire him, an expert, or whatever she's giving him as a title. And number two, the salary, the amount of salary that she's paying, that the county's paying out for his wages. So so she's in trouble for that, I guess. They're reviewing that. I don't know.
So I want everybody to hold tight because I know everybody has a response to that comment there. I think that was timing, but then I want Sarge to go ahead and respond, and then I'm going to go to Janet. But timing, go ahead, because I know you only have a certain amount of time with us, and say what you got to say.
So,
Sarge has been patient.
The meeting's on
YouTube.
Go ahead and let Sarge speak, Mike. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let him speak.
Okay, well, Sarge, you go ahead. What's your response to what was just said by everybody there, and what was just said as far as her getting permission, and based on what I just said about why would you want someone who allegedly is not experienced be moved and possibly get someone who's more experienced? Your take on that.
All right. Before I respond to that, I'd like to respond to something else that was said earlier. Even though I don't want to get bogged down in this, and I definitely won't, but I'd like to point, as a matter of fact, United States Marshals arrested an attempted assassin for Justice Kavanaugh. Arrested him after Joe Biden's Department of Justice refused to do anything about the protesters illegally protesting a pending Supreme Court decision outside of the justice's home. That was a violation of the law.
Hold on, Sarge. I'd also like to say that Steve Scalise was almost shot to death by an anti-Trump supporter.
He came within an inch of losing his life.
Sir, in all due respect, okay?
Well, the gentleman said there was no violence or threats.
Okay, but Sarge, okay, I got to do this, okay? You're talking about a threat to a justice. Remember that Obama was threatened. A guy was in his neighborhood, okay, that openly said he was looking for Obama's residence, okay? But you have to remember, and though you may disagree with what has been said or what has been investigated, and that's how come we got to this point, of the fact that, and even former President Trump's family did not intervene when Donald Trump was asked to stop, make an announcement to stop the insurrection. You believe it was not. Many people do believe it was not an insurrection. But he had the power at the time of being the President of the United States to immediately stop those individuals. But now here you're talking about something different. That goes both ways there. The former president had the opportunity to stop that violence. So, I'm not going to agree with you on that whole thing. You know, that there's been threats towards, as you said, that it was against. And I know what you're going off of. You're going to offer what my co-host, what Janet said about, or I'm sorry, what my other co-host said about against.
There was
Democrats.
No violence directed at conservatives or Republicans. I didn't say there wasn't any violence directed against Fannie Willis or anyone else. He said there was no violence directed against conservatives or Republicans, essentially, and that's not true.
Okay.
I wouldn't say there was no violence directed against. I'm sure Fannie Willis is getting hundreds of death threats. I would never say that.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, and I'm saying that is not true, and I simply wanted to respond to it.
Okay.
Now, let me go to the points I think are more pertinent and more important than just that. Now, we've got a whistleblower in Fannie Willis's own department. Her name is Amanda Timpson. she recorded herself in a conversation with Bonnie Willis. She was attempting to bring Bonnie Willis's attention to a man who was improperly using federal funds, probably illegally, and she was complaining that rather than using the money for the purposes for which it was intended, which was anti-gang prosecutions, that man was using it to buy MacBooks and swag, as he put it, among other things. And he brought it to her. She brought it to her attention, and she tried to dismiss her concerns and said the problem with her was you just don't get along with him. And she subsequently fired her. Now, she's a whistleblower. That's against federal law and a whole bunch of other things. And by the way, today she just filed out another statement saying that the woman was a bad employee, but yet and still we've got all kind of commendations from Willis's office attesting to this woman's diligent, faithful, and excellent performance. This, look, I believe this woman is thoroughly corrupt. And there's so much evidence of it that keeps coming out. As the lady just said a moment ago, the method of appointment was in violation of county regulation and, I believe, law. And right now the Fulton County Commissioner is conducting an investigation into her, one of four being conducted by both the state of Georgia, the House of Representatives of Georgia, the Senate of Georgia, the United States House of Representatives, and the Fulton County Commission. She's got four investigations right now going into her behavior and the things she's done. We've got Nathan Wade billing the Fulton County, billing for billable hours, for meeting repeatedly with the White House counselors on the White House visitor logs, apparently and reasonably to be inferred that they are colluding with the White House on the timing and method of prosecution in this case. They denied it, but now we've got the evidence that would also make that appear not to be true. So there are many things here that need to be questioned. And one more thing I'd like to respond to. One more thing. Mm-hmm. So the lady who said that the fact that Donald Trump said that he needed over 11,000 more votes to win the election, What that is completely ignoring when you make a statement like that, say this is proof of his guilt or this points to evidence of his guilt in this, is the transcript, which I have read six times now. I've read the complete telephone transcript six times, and I've listened to it three. And prior to making that statement about the 11,000 votes, he laid out chapter and verse as to the reasons why he believed the election was fraudulent. In fact, I know you're not going to give me the time to do so, I am willing to list them, many of which have been validated by audits conducted by the state of Georgia and the counties in which the election irregularities occurred. So to say that he said 11,000 votes in the absence and without any context as to everything else he told Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger on that telephone call is completely misleading. And again, if you need to... for me to tell you what that was, I will tell you. Things that have been verified by audits, by official governmental entities that Donald Trump was complaining about, and that's going to come out in his trial if it goes to trial.
Okay. So I want to turn the mic over to Janet for her to respond. Before I do that, though, let's keep in mind, and I know you know this as well as I do, and everybody else on this line knows, it was not the Democrats who turned on Donald Trump or went looking for things against Donald Trump. Donald Trump opened up this can of worms on his own, and it was Republicans who said, hey, you know what? Mm-mm, that's not true. So that is an in-party issue. But they always want to make it seem like it's the Democrats doing it. Now, the thing is, I've been looking at this just like yourself, and I'm looking at, why are they throwing each other underneath the bus? Look at Bannon and all of them. It all starts back then. Donald Trump plainly said, I'm going to bring you the best of the best. But look, we got the worst of the worst. Look at how many people have been prosecuted of the best of the best. It's not the Democrats. Now, I'm not taking sides, but I'm looking at what I'm seeing that is clear as water. You can see through that. You can save your water. How do you answer the whole thing about that whole thing? Janet, the mic is yours. What's your response to what was just said?
Well, you answered it yourself. Everybody who has came up and said that Trump did something wrong was a Republican, not a Democrat. It's always have been a Republican. They're the ones blowing the whistle on him. They're the ones taking him down. That's all
because
I have
when
to
it
say.
Comes to it, when, right, when it comes to it, you got to save your ass. His fixer, okay, Michael Cohen, was the
mm-hmm.
first one, or was the first, actually,
mm-hmm.
who said, well, hey, I'm not going to take the fall for this guy. And then all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
he went from star fixer to asshole, you know, whistleblower. And technically, when you use the term whistleblower, he was the whistleblower on Donald Trump. And he didn't spend nearly as much time in jail as a person like you or me would have done of the same crimes at all. But the snowball keeps rolling with this whole thing of where, you know, Donald Trump has never done anything wrong. He is perfect. He didn't do wrong. He's a perfect president. But the thing is that, well, history shows before he became president, when he's just a businessman, of what he did wrong. And he was prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
The man, it's a criminal record. Maybe not in the terms that people may think, but he broke a law and he had to pay the consequences back then. And nothing changes in 2023, 2024. If you break the law, you have to pay the consequences, no matter how much money you got.
Okay,
or,
Michael.
Or how much money you pay, right?
Okay, Michael.
So with that being said, okay, now I'm going to let you speak, but can you acknowledge right now that Donald Trump has broken laws in the past? Can you acknowledge that the verdicts were correct at the time? And can you acknowledge that Donald Trump may or may not be guilty, or out of the four or whatever cases he's dealing with, can you tell us right now that Donald Trump is totally not guilty of all the things that have gone down against him right now? He was just found guilty. He went from a $5 million lawsuit and ran his damn mouth to up the ante to 83.3. Was that, Janet?
Yes.
For running his mouth.
But
afterwards, how the hell can you keep running your mouth and making more money come out your damn pocket? How ignorant is that?
Okay,
and I'm supposed to trust you as a president?
Okay, Michael.
I mean, how could you answer that? I mean, to me,
right,
it, as Mike Tyson would say, it's ludicrous.
Okay, Michael, look, I'm a police officer. I go by evidence and facts. I don't care who says what. It doesn't matter to me, whether it's Republicans, Democrats, a criminal, a citizen, a witness. It doesn't matter. What are the facts and what are the evidence? And that's what I go on every time. And now, obviously, mm-hmm. since I'm not with Donald Trump 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, I cannot tell you if he's ever been guilty of anything. I do not know. Here's what I do know, and I am certain of to a moral certainty. Of the charges of which...
You
let me finish, sir. I didn't interrupt you, sir. Let me finish. I'm almost finished. Let me finish uninterrupted, please. Sir, I'm almost finished. All right, again. Of the charges of which he has been accused, I am certain to a moral certainty he is not guilty of any of them. As I look at the evidence presented against him, the facts and the law, precedent and history, no, I do not believe he is guilty of a single thing. And conversely, since I have read the indictments in these cases, every one of the indictments, every one of the 91 counts of the various indictments against him in the four different jurisdictions, I am also convinced mm-hmm. he is not guilty of a single one of them, given the elements mm-hmm. of the offense of the law. So that is my answer,
okay.
and I stand by. And I'm prepared to
okay,
corroborate so it and
ask,
certify
but,
it as why I believe so.
But, sir, but I did ask you if you're aware of the the cases he had against him and his dad in the past.
I've read every single indictment, sir. I'm familiar with them thoroughly.
Hold on, Sarge, but you're aware of that, right? You're aware of that.
Read every indictment. Every one of the charges they say he is guilty of, I have read them thoroughly. I am familiar with them. I do not believe he is guilty of one of them.
Sir, I'm not talking about present day. I'm talking about back when him and his dad.
Wait, I'm supposed to find him guilty of something on speculation? No, I'm not going to do that, sir. No, I'm not going to do that. You can do it if you wish to. I'm not going to do that.
No, sir, I'm asking you. Well, you don't have to do anything. I don't ask anybody to do anything they don't want to do.
No, you're going to present me with accusations of something in his past. And unless you give me evidence of it.
I have to put you on mute because you're not listening. I'm not asking you to say, you just told us that you do not believe that he is guilty of these present charges. What I'm trying to ask you, do you believe that the charges he got back in the 70s, 80s, whatever, back in when it came to the whole thing as far as the labor and everything that happened in Atlantic City, where he filed bankruptcy, what, 6-7 times, Janet? Okay. And he had to go to jail, to court, found guilty. Are you telling me right now, Sarge, that you don't believe that that was a crime on his behalf, that he should not have been found guilty back then? Because what I'm saying is this. The man has been in the court of law many a times, and he has been found guilty in the past. So what makes a difference? What makes the difference of him being in the court of law again and maybe found guilty this time? Granted, you believe that he's not guilty of any of these charges. I just ask you a simple question. Do you believe the charges he got back then were legit? And that was correct for him to be found guilty, because apparently it seems like people think that Donald Trump can't do no wrong. He clearly told us that he could shoot somebody on what, Fifth Avenue, and still get votes. Shooting someone on Fifth Avenue could mean murder. And he's saying that he's bragging at the fact that he could still become president. He can grab
he
women
also,
by the pussy.
Yeah.
Okay, excuse my language,
ladies. Yeah, sorry. He also bragged that he can do a field.
I'm just saying that here's an individual who is the representative of the United States of America. He's representing this country and, of course, supposed to defend the country. Only question I had for you, sir, is that though you believe that everything that is coming at him right now, which is, you know, really, which we already said, it was not a Democratic thing. It was where Republicans were saving their asses once the investigation started. Republicans. Granted, Democrats were, you know, there were Democrats who were January 6th board, but there were a couple of Republicans, and those Republicans got thrown underneath the bus because they're trying to find out what the hell really went on in order to do what? To protect this country from any other individual in the future who runs for president and tries the same thing. And I respect them. I look at it, yes, investigate the whole thing. See what happened. Was this really what it looked like? To where a lot of folks look at it where it was where Donald Trump wants to be a dictator. And look at who he loves, dictators. We had a lovely conversation. He wrote me a lovely letter. What other president has ever said some shit like that? Oh, he's new, he's different. No, that's scary, in my opinion. But again, I just want you to tell me whether or not you know of the things that Donald Trump was, accused of doing before he became president. before he had the apprentice, back when he had the hotels, he did not pay the labor. He did not pay the companies who built those hotels, where Atlantic City had to take control of those hotels. He filed bankruptcy, what, 6-7 times? Do you think that even those that he is not guilty of committing a crime? I mean, come on.
Okay, Mike, as a matter of fact, you cannot be found guilty in a civil case. You can only be found liable. Guilt can only come in a criminal court with proof beyond a reasonable doubt or a plea of guilty or a plea deal. You cannot be found guilty in a civil case. Liable.
Yep.
And look, you asked me a question. You got to let me answer. You threw a lot at me. Can I answer it? I mean, you threw many things at me. You ought to give me the opportunity to answer them. All right, now again. All right, again, he cannot be found guilty in a civil case. He's never been found guilty of any crime, ever, not once in his life. Bankruptcy is a common technique among businessmen. Many businessmen file bankruptcy multiples of times in their career. Now, if you're going to say that alone means he's guilty of something, then all I ask you to do is go find a prosecutor to find something criminal in that bankruptcy filing and bring the appropriate charges. I'm not going to speculate on something of which I am insufficiently informed to make an intelligent decision or comment about. I am not sufficiently aware of the facts of his bankruptcy to comment intelligently on. On this thing with Phyllis, with Fannie Willis and Fulton County, I think I know it as well as any layman can possibly know it. And I am fully prepared to comment on that. And all of the other spurious charges that have been directed against Donald Trump since he came down the escalator in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let me go back to let me see if Timon wants to respond on this, because here's the thing that I find interesting in this conversation. I appreciate that. In fact, let me look at the board here. Look at what's happening in the chat room. If it's a slam dunk case, why is it going to cost so much? This is from Bring It Board. Why should the Fulton County pay for millions of dollars? Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, but when you got the president, or even the former president, I'm sorry, of the United States, coming in and out of whatever the case that, whether it's in Florida, California, Georgia, you know, it's going to cost that state money for security and all that great stuff, right? You know, so, yeah, that's who pays for it. It's us, the taxpayers, okay, over this BS. But I want to go ahead and see what Simon has to say. Simon, I'm sure you've been sitting back listening. What's your comment?
Well, you know, Mike, it's one of those things. And he has the right to believe what he believes. You know, I think Trump is a charlatan. I think his whole family's a charlatan. And he's right. You can't be found criminally. He has been found liable. He got caught in his stuff with his college. He had to pay a fine for that. He had to pay back millions. This whole thing that's of all the different cases. Now, where they will find him criminally, I believe, is of him taking the files out and him hiding them. I think they're going to find him liable for that. I think he's going to be found criminally for that. I believe that they're going to find him, once Chutkan gets involved. If these guys will go ahead and get this immunity thing out of the way, if the appeals court, you know, because he's making a mockery of our judicial system, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Should he be in jail? In my opinion, he should. But the fact that that there are small donors out there, the man's already spent $50 million. They're keeping him, they're paying his legal bills. But that's their opinion. If they believe it, they believe this guy. I want him to go before a jury. The way Trump wins is, as you know, delay, delay, delay. They call him the gingerbread man for a reason. He's never been caught because he has the money that the average American does not have, to keep his ass out of jail. So I think that if they can stop all this delaying, you're finally going to get the man in court, and he's finally going to get caught. But if he's allowed to win, he is definitely going to pardon himself like he pardoned all his homies that got away and everything. And he will let all those people out that stormed the Capitol. He's going to do it all. You know, if Assange does not believe that, by all means, let us find out in a court of law to take the orange man and have him stand before a judge and let them fight this out. And then I want to see what they find it. And if a people of his peers find him guilty, I don't care what they say or who did what, he need to go to jail. Now, will they do it? I don't know. But that's how I believe.
Well, you know, one of the RICO charges against Donald Trump in this RICO, because remember, I've read this indictment several times, and the core, the crux of our case against Donald Trump is that he committed fraud against the people of Georgia by claiming to not believe that the election of Georgia was stolen and representing to officials of the state of Georgia, such as Brad Rosenberger and Brian Kemp, that the election was stolen. And he didn't really believe it. See, now this is probably the most absurd aspect of it. Even if you think the election was not stolen in Georgia, even if you think Donald Trump is insane, crazy, and a lunatic for believing so, there is no doubt in my mind whatsoever that he believed it. But remember, that is the core of our case. Now, if he can show, as I am looking at right now, I'm looking at results from audits from Cherokee County and Cobb County, indicating there was no chain of custody for ballots. There were no signature verification. They lost the images for the ballots that were cast. They had to keep an image of ballots cast and by the names of the voters, and they lost them. There are literally dozens and dozens of voter irregularities in Georgia, violations of the law, to say nothing of the violations of Article 2 of the Constitution that mandates. The Constitution, supreme law of the land, says that any election law alterations or changes or even initiations must be done with the approval of the state legislature. Now, the Supreme Court in Wisconsin ruled that the ballot boxes in Wisconsin were illegal and unconstitutional. The Pennsylvania Pennsylvania legislature violated its own constitution by changing universal mail-in balloting rules. All of these Donald Trump was aware of, and he tried to make the officials in Georgia aware of the ones that pertain to the state of Georgia. So he believed it. So that part of the case where she said he didn't believe what he was doing just cannot be true.
Okay, hold that thought. Janet, okay, so what just happened here in Georgia where they had to rewrite, you know, the districts here, right? Am I right?
Yeah, well,
go ahead and explain that whole thing that happened here.
Well, they rewrote
Abrams. She was the one. Abrams that threw the vote or moved the vote or whatever.
The one whose son got killed and then she ran for office. Was it LeBette? Or something. Anyway, but go ahead.
I'm sick.
Explain how that went about.
Well, I know for a fact they gerrymandered some of the districts, and they rolled them to the point where from up in Rome all the way down to, like, Austell and Powder Springs, gave it to, I can't think of her name, the blonde.
You're talking about Marjorie Greene.
Yeah,
She was in charge from now I know this for a fact. Where Rome, Georgia is Floyd County, way up north. They gave her control from way up north Georgia all the way down to Cobb County. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's about miles away.
Yeah.
About a good hour drive distance. For her to, and she didn't even live in any of these counties. She actually lived in another county and then bought a house over in Floyd. Over in Floyd County when she ran for office. Her family ran a construction business. So she was doing that, okay, I'm going to run for office, but I'm going to move and buy a home over here so I can, you know, do this and that and the other. No, you're not representing your damn county or your city. You're just trying to get in office so that you can do something that has nothing to do with where you legitimately lived or you originally lived from. And so they drew the district map to where she had control all the way from Floyd all the way down to Cobb County. And if you guys are listening, you can go on your laptops or whatever and look at the state of Georgia and look at what that map looks like. The original map that they wanted to present, a judge stepped forward and said, no, you need to rewrite this map because what, Janet? Why did he tell them that?
Michael, I wasn't referring to redistricting.
No,
I'm referring to the matter in which the ballot is passed. I wasn't referring to redistricting.
No, I'm saying, I'm just giving you an example of what happens that where when you're talking about ballots and this and that and the other, well, this redistricting does have an effect on ballots. If you can,
okay,
if you can get by.
That has nothing to do with my comment. It doesn't have anything to do with
What I'm saying, sir, I'm listening to your comment. What I'm trying to explain to you, if you are able, if any party, whether it's Republican or Democrat, are able to redistrict and disenfranchise people, okay, in redistricting, then it does have a major effect.
But you can't go against the Constitution even if that is true. It says in Article 2, each state shall appoint, this is Section 2, Article 2, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct. That was changed by the Secretary of State and judges in Georgia. The legislature did not approve the changes. It was unconstitutional, the manner in which they collected ballots in Georgia for the 2020 presidential election. It violated the Constitution, no matter what wrongs may have been done in the redistricting.
But hold on, sir. With all due respect, you know, the Constitution is the Constitution. How many damn times do you think that damn Constitution has been amended throughout the United States?
Now, wait a minute.
I asked you a question. How many times do you think the 27. Constitution
it's has been amended 27 times.
You're cutting me off, okay? And I don't like being
cut
off.
Well, you asked me a question. It's been amended 27.
I asked you a question, but you can't answer it. So I'm going to go to somebody.
He said 27.
How many times do you think the Constitution has been amended state by state on certain laws? Janet, you have an answer. Does anybody have an answer? Has been amended in any form or fashion?
He said 27 times.
Okay. Timon, you there? Timon's still here? I see him on the board, but okay, so he's saying that that's against the Constitution. I'm like, well, you know, the Constitution has been effed up many a time.
You guys are the debate. It really doesn't. That really is not the crux of the issue. The issue is that all of those things, whether in Philly or anywhere, they all went to the court, and they lost. And it was done by Republicans. They all lost. He took it 60 times. He went to the Supreme Court. He lost.
Amen.
They were not done by Democrats. They were done by his own people. He lost. Right. And his own people told him he lost. They told him, you lost. Bill Barr told him, you lost. And
not
he
one of those cases was heard on the
merits. Sarge, hold on.
Yeah, I have to put him on
mute. Okay. And also, Bill Barr told him, you lost. And he even said 6 months before, if I don't win, it's rigged. He had been
mm-hmm.
already setting this up to tell everyone that I am not. They asked him, are you going to do a peaceful transfer of power? He would not answer the question. And
yep.
so it really does not matter because they're not going to believe. The people already believe, those that believe Trump is innocent and that he won, they're going to believe that he won. It's not going to matter.
That's
they're not
right.
going to matter. You know, and that's what I'm saying. He needs to go in front of a jury of his peers. And if they find him innocent, okay. If they find him guilty, well, then again, he's cheated on again? I don't know. Because all he has to do is put out into the ether that if I don't win, it's somebody that he's playing the victim. How do you argue against? He's never going to admit he lost, ever.
Mm-mm.
Never. So you're going to, it's just going to end up arguing. So go ahead. I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sit back and listen. Go ahead.
Okay. So with that being said, I believe what Tyman just said. Donald Trump is not, well, we should all know, is not used to losing. He's never lost in his life, apparently.
He had a lawyer of his go before the circuit court to say that he is, as president of the United States, can have the secret, Navy SEAL 6 assassinate his political opponent. So are you saying that Biden can get the Navy SEAL 6 to assassinate his political opponent? Because this came out of Trump's lawyer's mouth, and they still
mm-hmm.
haven't said anything about it, made a decision over it. Crazy. And like you said, one of these people who had something bad to say about him was Republican. They're doing the dirt themselves.
If I may, they're establishment Republicans. They're bought by corporations. That's why they didn't want him in there. Yes. Yes.
Okay,
and
I'm glad
if I may.
Here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I see that you're still here. I want to bring Sarge back on, but the thing is that what I'm saying is that we're not talking about Democrats right now, okay? I mean, we can, but I'm just saying that based on what's happening here, all right, it's Republicans having the real issue among themselves. It's some that said, I got Trump's back, and now all of a sudden they're like, well, you know what? I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. It's documentation. It's fact. It's truth. It's words. It's sound bites that's showing that where, you know, some of them thought that, well, yeah, this might work, and then once it failed, what allegedly was supposed to happen, now they're saying, well, yeah, we tried to tell him this, that, and the other. Now, according to former President Trump, they're weak. They're weak and everything. They have no backbone. They don't. No, but you spoke so highly of them in the beginning. Remember, I'm going to hire the best of the best. I'm going to bring the best of the best. My team is going to be this and the other. Look at how much of your team has failed you based on what you wanted to do and that you've thrown underneath the bus, gone to jail, and so on and so forth. Whose fault is that? What is that? It's yours. You, the president, the former president. You know, so that's the thing I'm saying is that there's, I understand that maybe, and I'll agree that there was a couple of things I thought, well, that was a good move on Donald Trump's behalf. A couple of things. As far as him getting to be more acceptable by certain folks. But then the moment he did the right thing, he turned around and did something different that I questioned. And many folks did. But my whole thing is that, well, okay, but why do people think that this one man, just like I question folks who believe that this one man in North Korea, or this one man in China can tell you all what to do, which is a dictatorship, feel like he's so buddy-buddy with the dictators and make the comments that he makes, and you believe him. I'm trying to understand that. And as we already established, there's individuals who have been part of his whole thing and really supported him in the beginning, but they were like, they did not see this coming. They didn't. Name any other president in the history of the United States that has been indicted 4 times, let alone when before they became the president of the United States, filed bankruptcy in business. Name one.
Just Harry one. Truman.
Oh. So Harry Truman
was
indicted 4 times. He was indicted 4 times. He was convicted of bankruptcy.
They filed bankruptcy.
Okay. But he was never indicted 4 times or indicted, period.
Oh, he's the first one. Now, I admit, Donald Trump's the first one for that, yes.
Yeah, and a former president now. But, I mean you would question that, man. I'm saying that where I would question it. I mean, I just could not say that I trust you to be the leader of. You know, you did what you did in your first term, but I'm not going to trust you for a second one.
Okay,
I
Michael.
Can't.
Michael. As once again, you're throwing a lot at me, and I'm not ignoring what you're saying. I'd like to respond to all of it. I'm not going to ignore.
I don't care.
I like to respond.
Robert,
I heard what was said, and I'd like to respond.
If you're indicted for 4 different criminal things. Different crimes, whether it's criminal or not criminal, but just that you broke the law to that level.
How many charges they have against Nelson Mandela?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all true, right? All right, let's look at a statement about Bill Barr. I'd like to respond to what I heard. Now, please, let me respond to it. Now, in the middle of the statement, Bill Barr was raised. And Bill Barr was saying, oh, you lost Donald Trump, just give it up. Now, I have an interview, which I can play for you, of Bill Barr being interviewed prior to the election. And Bill Barr was adamant in saying his belief, his firm, adamant belief, that universal mail-in balloting was rife with the opportunity for fraud, rife with it. You should hear him. He was on, I think, Face the Nation. But I can get you the interview so we can determine exactly who said it and who he said it and when. But it was before the election. Then after the election, I guess they got to him and told him, hey, the election was pure and pristine as the newly driven snow. They must have got to him and told him, hey, you got to get off this stuff about it being right the fraud. I mean, just pretend, let's wipe that out. That we've always been at war with East Asia. But let's go on to the next thing. Now, you guys seem to airily dismiss the idea that Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, is of no real consequence or significance, but Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and insurrection, you can only interpret that one way because that's holy writ. I find this inconsistency very interesting. And then when I heard the issue of the point raised about the judge asking the question about SEAL Team 6, you know, and President Orr, somebody was political opponent to be murdered by SEAL Team 6, I find it's really unusual for a judge to ask a hypothetical involving an issue that is not even before the court. The issue that is before the court is whether or not the president has immunity for those activities that are within the scope of his presidential duties. and one of them is not ordering an assassination on a political rival. So, I mean, mm-hmm. that's like a straw man red herring argument to take us off the scent. The issue is, does a president enjoy presidential immunity for things like addressing a crowd over their concerns, hundreds of thousands of them, that the election was illegitimately taken from them, whether that is true or not? That is within the scope of a president's authority to do.
Okay, so let me intervene real quick here, because we have to look at this, and there was other topics we're going to get to, but we're down to about 21 minutes left on the show. After a two-hour show, and we spent all the 2 hours basically on this topic. Again, I want to thank Janet Davis, my co-host, my right hand, for doing all the research. We do have some other topics we can still come back with next week because they're ongoing things. But I want to definitely shout out real quick that one of the greatest actors of all time passed away Tuesday, and that was Mr. Carl Action
Withers.
Jackson. I'm sorry?
Carl Withers.
Carl Withers. Thank you. Carl Withers, you guys remember him from Rocky movies 1, 2, 3, and 4. Wow, I think I lost count. But he played in just about all the Rocky movies. Of course, he played Apollo Creed. He also played in Action Jackson. And a lot of people forget that he actually played in the TV series In the Heat of the Night. He took the place of another actor as the detective and became the chief of the town when the chief, who was Mr. Carol O'Connor, became the sheriff later on in the series of the show. So much condolences to the family of Carl Withers. And in fact, he played in what is that show called, Mandalorian or The Mandalorian or whatever, from what I understand. I never really watched it, that he actually had a character role in that. But he passed in his mid-70s on Tuesday. And, I've watched this gentleman for over the years, and I really appreciated his acting. And so we're going to miss him, and God bless the family and condolences. I definitely want to get that out. Again, now with Donald Trump, with him having to go from 5 million to 83.3, right, Janet, million dollars to pay an additional 83.3 million or 83.2, whatever it is, it went from 5 million to the 80s for running his damn mouth. And that's shutting the hell up. So here's the thing.
He's quiet now.
But here's the thing. Here was a conversation or something that came up about him trying to get assistance to pay, you know, his legal fees or to pay off what he has to pay. He cannot collect money based on, you know, his run for the presidency and divert that money to his legal fees, meaning to pay this off, because that would be another crime. If he were to collect money from individuals claiming that it is for his campaign funds and for some reason decides to divert that money to pay what he owes this individual, he can go to jail for that. You have to make it very clear to your contributors where their money is going. And this is a legal expert speaking on this that I saw, that no, in this situation, Donald Trump would have to let the people donating to his campaign fund where the money is going.
Mm-hmm.
He has to. There has to be record of it. So let's say he's got the campaign fundraising going, and then he's trying to figure out how to pay off this 83.3. Every dollar has to be documented of what bank account it's going into. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every dollar.
And he has a different account because he sells merchandise and has nothing to do with the campaign. It's just licensed Trump stuff. You know, like if you were to walk into his hotel and you see the gift shop there that has Trump on it, Trump Towers or something like that. And then sometimes some other type of cards or gold, or he's got these other things that he's selling, and so as far as you can buy, but it's not for the campaign. The campaign is separate. As far as if you want to donate to his presidential campaign, you can. And you do it here, and then the other is for the merch that he has on sale. Not really worth much, but anyway.
But let's look at the reality of the things that has happened in the past, where they say you can go to a Trump golf course and see pictures on the wall of where he's on Time magazine, and they've already proven that those are false. Now, granted, you and I can go online, you know, and put Time magazine behind us or in front of us, whatever. We could make stuff like that, GQ and everything, but as a businessman, and I'm sure you guys have seen this now, as a million-dollar, allegedly, business, you know, entrepreneur, why would you have false crap like that in your golf clubs? Why?
Why not? I mean, it's not against the law. It's pretty cheesy.
Come on, man.
Come on now. Well, no, not come on now.
I mean,
that's kind of nitpicking.
No,
I mean, the man already has enough stuff to be criticized about.
Here's the reality of it. But here's the reality of it. Come on. I mean, it's like me having a fake Grammy on my, you know, mantelpiece. Everybody would be looking at me like, you want a Grammy? You know, and I sit up there and I have to back up the lie. You know, I got an Oscar sitting on my mantelpiece. I got a Tony Award. I didn't know you were in Broadway. And all my friends would be like, ain't no damn way you got that. That's got to be fake. But why would you put that in your business? Okay.
Yeah.
And you're not there. You're not there to say, or no one's there to say, oh, no, that's just decoration.
Mm-hmm.
But it's false.
Right.
Come on.
Well, you know, the news,
as far as the brand.
It's cheesy, totally. But what we have here is the news media lying, and, you know, people believe what they're saying. You know, as far as Trump losing those cases for the election, he has the right to grievance, number one, if there's questions about the election. Everybody has that right to file a grievance. But as far as the Supreme Court goes, you know, according to AP News, not only just them, but the Supreme Court themselves said that the, and this was done on February 2nd, 2020, that the Supreme Court on Monday rejected a handful of cases related to the 2020 election, including disputes from Pennsylvania that had been deeply divided between the justices just before the election. They were already divided on if what happens if we have to hear a case about it. They rejected several cases that Donald Trump had filed and also appealed, and the states that filed on his behalf that Biden won, which were Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Those states filed with the Supreme Court as well, and the Supreme Court did not want to hear it. So he did not lose those cases because they were never heard. So I just want to set the record straight on that, because I keep hearing over and over that Trump had all those cases, Republican judges, and he lost all those cases. There must have been a reason. It was because he lost. And he's like, no, he did not lose the cases. They didn't even hear the cases. Anyway, back to you.
Okay, well wait a minute. Wait.
Michael, it sounds to me as if you give me a lot of reasons why you shouldn't vote for Donald Trump. And, sir, I am fully controlled with your decision not to vote for Donald Trump. Be my bloody well guest. But those of us who look at his record as President of the United States, what he did for this country, the stability we had despite the fact that you think it was unstable, the safety and security on the border, the balance of trade that was related, the fact that he got NATO to pay for their fair share, even the NATO chief put down this stupid CNN reporter in which he said that aren't you afraid he's going to destroy NATO? He said, no, he was right to make us pay for NATO. And a whole host of other things. We're going to vote for him again. We just don't agree with you. You're free to have your position not to vote for him. Be our guest.
Right.
But you shouldn't try to put him in jail over some nonsense that has no bearing.
Sarge, I don't want to mute you again, sir. Okay, I have the most respect for you. The thing is that I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. Okay? Let me make that very clear.
I didn't say you were. I said you shouldn't vote for him if you feel the way you do about it. But you shouldn't try to put him in jail.
Excuse me. I'm still speaking. I just bring these topics up so we can have a discussion about it, and you are able to vent, which you have done this evening on the show. We only have about maybe 10 minutes left. I want to go back around to everyone and get their final comments about this. And really, I did not intend for this political conversation to go for a whole 2 hours, but I'm glad that it did, and I'm thankful for all the phone calls and all the responses and you guys sharing your points of view and opinions. We still have a long ways to go. You know, we just dealt with the harassment trial and the defamation trial and all that stuff, you know. But now the serious stuff comes. And then there's other stuff that we just talked about with Fannie Willis, you know, coming into play with her affair. Again, my question was, should that have an effect on what a grand jury has decided to move forward to become a trial? Let me go to, of course, I always try to let Janet be the last word on these topics. So I want to see if Timer is still here on the board. Timer, are you there? Okay. Okay. Your final words on it, and then I'm going to move around the board and get everybody's final words. It's been an interesting conversation.
Like I said, Mike, you have two ways of looking at it. There are those who believe that Trump is innocent, and they believe that he should be president again, whether he gets convicted or not. You can't argue with that. I mean, you just got two people who are just not going to agree on a guy that they believe that he should be president. In my eye,
correct.
No. I don't think he should be president. I don't think that his family, no one still talks about with Jared Kushner, the $2 billion that he took. No one said anything about that. They also knew that Khashoggi was going to get killed. They didn't say anything about that. You know, I mean, they can say, hey, you know, this whole thing with, you know, Biden's son and all that. I mean, and also, I came to, and I'll say this and I'll let it go, and I'll let you guys speak. I came to L.A. October of 89. I am still, you're not going to make me believe that immigrants are trying to take my job. Because if you don't want that cheap labor, you shouldn't ask for them to cross that Rio Grande River. You know, you can go back in time, and all you got to do is look at the history of why an immigrant is coming across that river. Because I can tell you this, for the job that they do, you're not going to pay an American $17 an hour. You're going to, if you want an American to do it, it'll cost you $35 an hour. Plus, you're going to have to make sure he has medical and retirement. Those people pay taxes, but I'm not going to make me believe that immigration is hurting me. When I've been here in California, been living here for almost 40 years, and I've been perfectly fine. Now, the other people might say, oh, they're taking something from me. I don't believe that. So, but, hey, like I said, we can agree to disagree. And they are, you know, we're all Americans. That's the beauty of living in a democracy. We can agree to disagree. That's fine with me. I'm out.
All right. Appreciate that response. And I agree with you because I have in my years, I've traveled. When I used to work in construction, I've traveled to different states and saw, you know, the agriculture and the farming business. I've been in Louisiana where there were black and Hispanics working those farms. In fact, I met a young lady, a black young lady, who told me, you know, what it's like in Louisiana and certain states, even South Georgia, of where you're not going to see, I'm sorry to say, which is a fact, a white boy out there picking cotton, picking tomatoes and potatoes and everything. You're going to see Hispanic and blacks and majority Hispanics. Even on my job, the people that do the maintenance work at the store that I work at, the majority of them are Hispanic. They are taking the lower wage jobs in order to, and most of, and many of them do not speak English. But the job got to be done. And like you just said, there's many individuals out there like, what? Janitor, custodian? Oh, hell no. And in some places, they pay pretty damn good. At least above the poverty line or close to it. Let me go and take a look. And, again, I want to make sure I get everybody's last comment before we run out of time. We have 6 minutes. Let me see. 205 is on the board, but they haven't raised their hand. But I wish they had earlier. Let me go to the lady of the house, Janet Davis, your final comments on this topic.
I agree with you and Timon when it comes to the immigrants coming across the border and the jobs that they normally take are jobs that nobody else wants, you know. So somebody's got to pick, like you said, cotton or other things on a farm, you know, or work in meat packing places, you know. They have children working in meat packing places that shouldn't even be working in there.
Hello, that's true. And these companies are very well aware of it. And then when I worked in construction, I remember a white guy who, you know, he told me, he literally learned Spanish in order to get Hispanic employees to run his business.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be in his office, and I've seen where he's talking to them, they know no English, but he knows Espanol, and he can communicate with them and tell them what needs to be done. And they were getting, you know, a decent pay, but apparently he's making money in his business.
Yeah,
apparently he's making money, so it's a thing of where, what do you do? And here's the thing that always gets me, that makes me think about it. California, okay, Colorado, you know, remember, a lot of those states were Mexico, especially California, because if you ever lived in California, damn near every street,
Hispanic name
has a Hispanic name, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you be mad if some people want to cross the border from a country that they're in that is in turmoil, that is, and as they say, you know, the drugs are coming across the border. Well, it's not just coming from Mexico. It's coming from South America. It's coming from even Russia, because they know the areas that they can transport stuff from, okay? Drugs don't just come from South America. It may come across the South border. The drugs come from all over the world. They just found America's weakness. But the people coming across the border are not what Donald Trump said, murderers, killers, this, that, and the other. They're emptying out their prisons and all that type of crap.
We don't know what they are, though, Michael, to be quite honest. I mean,
No. I don't agree with that 100%. I don't think babies that are coming across the borders are murderers and killers. Okay.
Not all of them.
They're trying to find
a
refuge. And in many countries, and I'm just going to say, I have like 3 minutes left. Many countries right now around the world have refugees that are crossing borders due to their fear of being killed or murdered in their homeland. So I can understand it. Put yourself in that situation, you know, tonight. Think about it. You got a family.
Oh, I don't have
you
a problem with them coming here for a
okay.
better life.
Yourself,
not at all.
No,
I'm not arguing
that word, but
whatsoever.
There should be, I understand that, I have 1 minute left, but I believe that, you know, there should be a better way of handling this instead of all the red tape that goes on. I'm not a politician, but I believe that there's a better way of handling this situation than what our government is doing right now. And I hope that
other than spending the taxpayers' money sitting up there having these conversations and them getting paid to keep talking and talking and then putting it off and going on vacation and coming back and not giving us a clear vision of how to handle it. I think that's the waste of taxpayers' money. That's the waste.
They were passing a bill until Trump decided that he didn't want them to pass it. A bill that would help, like Mayorkas, for instance, they're trying to.
Okay, I gotta cut us off on the radio show. Cut us off for a minute. Hold on, cut us off for a minute. Hold tight. You guys stay on the board. Let me go ahead and shut down the show on the internet. But we're going to continue the conversation as long as the board allows us. Okay, so let me do this. Okay, and I think we're clear on the internet. Make sure radio show is clear on the internet. Janet, you were saying?
They were trying to impeach. They want to impeach Mayorkas, but if they pass the bill that the Senate put through, that's the best bill they said has ever been brought in within the United States. Then what's the purpose of impeaching a person? You know, if a person is asking for help, but you're not giving that person the help, but then you want to impeach that person, to me, I think it's crazy.
Okay. Well, again, here's the problem, again, is that we're talking, you know, on both sides about, you know, the border this, the border that. Well, you know, it should have been something that should have been looked at long time ago from presidents past, you know, and again, when you look at the stuff that has been happening in Venezuela and everything, South America, interesting, it's called South America, okay, and all the issues that they're having in South America, common sense would tell you that it's going to spill over into North America, right? Common sense would tell me that people are going to try to, you know, get away from, you know, where all the turmoil is. But for you to put up razor wire and this, that, and the other to stop them, from crossing the border, I think that's a bit much, to be honest. Just recently, a woman and her child were actually killed or died trying to cross over. And I'm sure thousands of folks also die, almost every week or so. Well, not every week, but every year, when I say thousands, of trying to come to North America, you know, what happened to us having a way of guarding our borders in the way that we used to? When you look at the number of individuals that are coming over, so much more than in the past. Now, according to what I've looked at, is that it's a little less than when Donald Trump was the president.
That's not true.
It's a little less. It's gone down. No, that's what I've read on three different things.
That's
I
not
don't
true.
Know where your information is, but I'll look into it.
Where
I'm going to let you speak on that.
Department of Homeland Security. That's where I get my numbers.
I'm going to let you speak on that. Just let me finish what I'm saying. That's what I've told, and I want to look into, you know, what truth of that is. Is there any truth to that? But also I want to look at this, too, and I'm going to let you speak, Sarge. But just let me finish talking. This is my show, sir, with all due respect. The thing that I'm looking at, too, is that if we have all these individuals coming here, we know why they're coming here. how come our government is not reaching out to those governments and trying to make a difference of what's going on in their countries? We do it over in the East. We have military over in the East, and we were able to have military in other countries in Europe and this, that, and the other. How come we can't negotiate with them and be like, hey, look, well, you know, you guys got to get your crap together over here. Otherwise, we're going to come over there like we do everybody else and deal with your drug cartel problems and this, and that, and the other. How come America don't do that type of stuff? If the South border is such an issue, how come we don't cross the border like we do elsewhere and make our presence known? Can you answer that question for me? Anybody?
Mm-hmm. I can answer all of them, actually.
Well, I'm not asking you to answer all of it. I'm asking you to answer that one. If we can go over to other countries, right, and support them, but our main thing here in the United States is where the Hispanics are coming over here, Mexico is coming over here, which I already said, it's not just Mexico. It's everybody coming through a porous border from all over the world. They're not coming through Canada as much as you think, but they are coming through Canada too. But they're coming through the South border, as everybody is led to believe, and that it's all Mexicans from Mexico. It's people from all over the world. They all travel. I already know for a fact that many people who do cross the southern border, they don't just come through and just go straight to this, that, and the other. They have ways of going all over the country first until they get to their destination. I know a person who told me that has individuals who came through, got here, went north, stayed up north, because there's more of a border patrol in the southern states than it is in the northern states. So they work their way north, and they'll stay up north, and then they'll come down south. Because think about it. From Texas all the way through, you know, from Texas all the way through Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, you're going to have a heavier border patrol or a heavier presence of individuals checking for illegal immigrants. But once you cross that border and able to shoot north and then come down, you're not going to have border patrol, you follow me? You understand my point? To monitor a person coming from the north heading south, more so a person coming south.
Why?
Does that make sense?
No.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
No, why would you want to, once you get into the interior of the United States, what do you need to go across the Canadian border to come back in for? You're already in.
I didn't say that. Sir, I did not say that. What I said was, is that we're, from what I've been told from other individuals, that they know that many individuals who cross the southern border, they shoot north. They don't go straight east. Once you get into Texas, you don't go straight east, because there's more of a border patrol of a person trying to go from Texas to go to, like, you know, Georgia or Florida or whatever.
Michael,
because,
once you get into the interior of the country,
you're not understanding what I'm saying. I think some folks, did anybody understand what I was saying?
Yes.
Did anybody?
Basically, they're coming to the U.S.
Okay.
But they go north because of less border control. They don't have to worry about it so much up north because
right. It's
not
it's easy for the penetrate. Right. It's just like it's just like in a war. For Sarge to be a police officer, he knows this. He should understand this. Is that where you don't go right at the enemy? You flank. That's what they call flanking, right? So what they do, they flank. If you cross the border, you don't go immediately east. If you're trying to go east, you got to go north. Head east because there's less patrols okay, like guards, you go east because you headed north, and then you come back down south. You're making a circle. You're not going to get all those type of U.S. agents and Border Patrol agents, you know, as you go across. Hell, I done drove from California to Georgia many a times, and you got Border Patrol all the way through.
And you're but right, but the majority of them are coming.
And then working your way back down, you're not going to run across that. Am I right?
Right, but the majority of them are coming through New Mexico, the southern border, basically, the majority of them. There are those that do go north in North America, in America, and then go east. They travel that way because of the less Border Patrol up north. But the majority of them are coming through the southern border and claiming asylum.
Right.
And so if they're claiming asylum, then they need
to
stop at the embassy on the way.
They're trying to get to a location of where they can blend in a little more, or not blend in, I should use another term, where they're trying to get away from being spotted or being arrested or whatever the case may be. Once you cross the border, the thing is that you want to get away from Border Patrol or, you know, law enforcement that are looking for illegals. So they'll head further north. See? Because if you get away from those states that are cracking down on that, you get further north, then you just look like a Hispanic person that just happens to live north. And apparently you must be a U.S. resident because you're way up here. You understand my point? It may sound crazy, but it's a fact. Because there's a lot of individuals who've been detained or arrested in the southern states because of the fact of the influx of illegal immigrants, and many of them have been arrested or detained, and they are U.S. citizens. They're like, no, I'm born and raised here.
But the influx coming is that as far as jobs go, they can't work. They're needing to be housed because there's families, and, you know, you can't leave them out in the cold. They're here, and so, you know, we're having to take care of them all, and there's not enough places to keep them all. I mean, New York right now is dying, I mean, as far as needing resources, and they've maxed out as far as their resources go to house these people to where now they're minimizing their stay to, what is it, 60 days or 5 days where they have to re-register for housing again. And their families that they're putting out on the street having to re-register because their hotels and the makeshift area that they had put for them to be housed are full. And the ones that they put out, their makeshift ones, are being flooded. And they're not made for people to stay in because they're basically out in the cold weather. They're in tents. So, and then they need to bus them to schools. And so they're just being out resourced. But, again, these people can't work. They've been interviewed and they want to work. They can't speak English, but they have translators and they want to work. You know, they just don't know what to do because they can't work because they haven't had a court date. They don't get a court date for several years. So now they're here. It's like, what do we do with them? As far as the farmers go and doing unwanted work, I mean, that's exploiting these people. If we can make fast food for restaurants pay $20
an
hour
for
living, you know. Then
exactly. That exploitation of these individuals when you are underpaying them because you know they're illegal. So you're not paying them minimum wage, which there's, unfortunately, that's what's happening too, is that where, which is illegal because, you know, we have the system called E-Verify. Not everybody follows the rules, okay? Okay.
Right. Some people have
businesses.
Yeah.
And as Janet said, you know, it's been exposed of where here are children that cross the border. that have been hired to work in known companies or products. Now, you can say, like, okay, Kraft Foods is a known, and I'm not saying Kraft is known, so don't go reporting, tell people at Kraft that I said they're doing these type of practices. No, I'm saying. But you have to remember that there are brands out there that the product is processed in the same damn plant, but there's different brand names. You do know that, right? The same plant, just a different name.
I don't know. Sure, I can't really speak to that, but
No. I'm going to tell you this. Here in Georgia, there is Purina. When you hear the name Purina, what does that make you think of?
Cat food.
Dog and cat food. Exactly. Thank you. But Purina also makes cereals. Yes.
Okay.
Purina also cereal. When Batman became popular, there's a Purina plant, and they had the thing for Batman cereal. It was processed at a Purina plant. And I'm looking at this one, I'm like, why the hell they got Batman cereal up here at a Purina plant? Because we do both. We make cat food and we make cereal. When you go
okay,
to the
here's
grocery
my other
store,
question.
Okay, but let me finish this whole part. When you go to the grocery store and you see the grocery store brand, the only difference, it's still made at the Kellogg's plant. Kellogg's is known for all kinds of products, but the grocery store brand is made at that particular, processing plant. The only thing is that they just change up the machines and the ingredients, and they disperse certain things into the mixture to make that cereal. But the majority of your name brand cereals, even though there's Kellogg brand and there's and then there's Post brand, a lot of those cereals are made at the same location. It's just the coloring, the box, and the ingredients. They change up the system. They reset the whole program, put certain ingredients in, and that's it. But it comes out the same damn building. You really think that every single when you go into a grocery store and you get all the different brands of cereals, it comes from all these different manufacturers? No. There's a parent company and a variety of names and ingredients. And they just change it up. It only takes an hour to make about 1,000 boxes or more of one brand, if that long.
Right. They make a generic brand at the same plant that they do Kellogg's. Mm-hmm. They'll make a generic Rice Krispies or whatever they do. Yeah.
So all you're doing is that you're paying more money for a name brand compared to the store brand, and they're all produced out of the same damn processing plant. That's all it is.
Right. Yep. There was a documentary about chicken farms or I think it was cattle farms or something like that, corporations that were using exploiting illegals that were coming over the border and putting them to work.
But to go back on to what we're saying is that when we're talking about immigrants coming here, those are the same individuals who work in those plants for a low wage. Green Giant, one of the largest companies in North America, Green Giant, frozen foods, right? You know that name. Green Giant shut down a plant in the United States, in fact, in California, and moved north of the border.
which is now called Gante Verda. The individuals here in California at that time were making like 10, I'll say about maybe $10-$12 an hour. That was a lot of money back then. And I'm talking about years ago. When they crossed the border, went across the border, mind you, this is a U.S., you know, product, and they decided to cross over into Mexico, people in Mexico was only making like $5 an hour. Who can live off of $5 an hour? Who?
Exactly. Exactly.
You a multi-million dollar company, and what you're doing is that you're moving your plant out of the United States across the border. Now we have to blame, in my opinion, we have to blame corporate America for what's happening to everyday citizens. And we have to blame the politicians that are allowing this to happen, because they can stop it.
That's why we don't need a new bill to stop it, because the laws already stop the invasion at the border.
I'm going to let you speak. Let me just say this last bit, and then I'm going to give you mine.
12 minutes, but you don't want me to talk, I won't.
Sir, I'm saying it one more time now. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to let you speak.
All right, sir. Mr. Perry, you don't want to talk to me, and that's fine. I'll just go. But I tried to get in. Apparently, you're not allowing me.
See, I just said, let me finish what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to let him respond, but he did not, you know, listen. I want to hear his comment, but he's just not letting me finish what I'm saying. The moment I said that, he jumped in. I just unmuted his mic, and all of a sudden he cut me off. I want him to speak. Charles, just be patient. Again. But here's where corporations, okay, you know, are doing this. Donald Trump, according to what he says, is that where, you know, companies, he's trying to get companies to move back here into the United States. I don't know how effective he really was, because I did not see that. I've worked in retail. I've worked in construction basically all my life. You guys know I work in this venue here too. But I have not seen where companies are actually moving back to the United States. In my experience, I see that there's a lot of outsourcing going on. It might look like the product is being brought back, not the actual business. The product is being sold here, but the businesses are not coming back, is what I'm seeing. And now you're not seeing retail stores anymore. What you're seeing is online. America is not a production. We are not producers. We are consumers now, more so than what we were as producers of product. We are consumers. Now, Sarge, I'm going to open up your mic and let you go ahead and respond to what has been said.
You know, I was listening to Gerald Nadler. He's a big wig in the Democratic Party. He was speaking in the, I believe, the Judiciary Committee. And he was talking about the law, the immigration laws, and what's going on the southern border. And he literally said this. I'm paraphrasing, but I know what I'm saying is accurate, that the United States needs this wave of illegal aliens to come into the country to pick our crops and attend our fields and do our domestic services. He literally said that. And I thought, isn't it ironic that the Democratic Party is reverting to its roots of slavery and serfdom? It's beautiful. Sharecropping, slavery, it's all of a piece with the Democratic Party. They just modernize it a bit. As it serves their purpose to get more electoral power in the states in which they're importing all these illegals. And then they do it under the guise of compassion. Compassion fascism is what it is. Now let me get down to brass tacks, because I don't like to narrate over much if I got facts to back it up. And the facts are these. Under the Trump administration, the high number of illegal aliens processed, note the word I'm using, processed. I didn't say ones that got away and got into the country, somehow evaded the Border Patrol. Talk about the ones that were processed by Customs, the Border Patrol, and the Department of Homeland Security. The highest number was 75,000 for any month. it averaged between $25,000 and $30,000 from almost all of the Trump administration. $30,000 a month. In December, Customs and Border Patrol and Department of Homeland Security said the number of illegal aliens was 303,024. 303,024. Every month the numbers keep going up to records unheard of in the history of the United States. Every single month. And we're now up here talking about all this nonsense about a border bill that's needed to grow. We need the border bill. We need more funds. We need more money. We have more money to hand out to our political masters and our enablers and benefactors. Give us more of the taxpayer money to fix this problem. They don't need another dime. They have all the laws and the authority they need right now to shut down the situation, because on the first day of Biden's office, the very first day he set foot in the Oval Office, he repealed all the Trump area actions that had reduced the flow of illegal aliens to about 25 to 30,000 a month, which is still too much, but which was manageable, and it was going down because he reversed the stay in Mexico policy. He reversed the third country safe haven policy. He reversed the agreements with the Mexican government to keep their soldiers on the border to reduce the influx of illegal aliens. Every policy that was working to prevent this human catastrophe we're seeing on the border were 1,500 people whose bodies they found had died trying to transit the border since Biden's been in office. That's since he's been in office. And then they had the nerve to lie about it when they said that those two people that drowned, that mother and that child that drowned because of Governor Abbott's policies. It was a lie. The Border Patrol was notified an hour after they had drowned. They weren't prevented from getting to those people. No policy of Governor Abbott would prevent anyone from going to rescue anyone in distress. That's the same kind of calumny they tried to put on those Border Patrol agents when they said they were whipping people, when they were using the form of normal dressage techniques that you use to make a horse move laterally. It had nothing to do with whipping anybody, but this senile corruptocrat said that it did. And he never even apologized when the truth came out.
Can I ask you a question, though? Okay.
I'm sorry. This is just outrageous. The things people say that is just not true.
I'm trying to ask you a question in your defense of what you're saying. Is that where you said
I'm
that
like
where,
just, what did I say factually that wasn't true?
Sir, I'm trying to ask you a question, and I'm sure that others would like to get your response on it. In your defense of what you're saying, that you said that where regarding the mother and child that drowned, that, you know, that the Border Patrol was not informed of the situation after an
before
hour.
Before they drowned.
Okay, and that's on the Rio Grande, right? How long is the Rio Grande River? Do you know?
That is on the Rio Grande, where you had the boys
I said, how long is the Rio Grande River that we have Border Patrol on? How long is that river? And can you, give us any idea of that, if you know?
I don't know how long the total length of the Rio Grande is, but the border with the United States is about 300 miles.
300 miles. Okay, so how many?
Approximately.
Approximately, right, and I agree with you about, okay, so how many agents do you think we have to patrol that much,
We don't
have
enough, first of all. We don't have enough, and second of all, it wouldn't matter because most of them are babysitting and processing illegal aliens to move them into the interior of the country. They are not on patrol. They're not catching fentanyl smugglers. They're not catching human traffickers. They're not catching children wanderers. This administration has lost, by its own admission, 85,000 children, and they don't know where they are or where they have gone to. They cannot tell you their whereabouts. They are probably being sex trafficked. God knows what.
That was on Trump.
Okay. Right. Okay, hold on.
That's
I hear
under
someone,
the Biden administration admitting 85,000.
I hear a person. Excuse me, sir. I hear a person saying something in the background. What were you saying, the person speaking out?
I said that the children still, they still are, Trump still split up those families in his shutting down of the border. He broke up several thousand families. He did not. There are kids out there who don't know where their kids are. And I'm not saying to Sarge that the Biden administration has done a great job, okay? But they've been having a problem with that with the border since, what, over 30 years. Now, they've already offered money. They offered money. The Senate right now, Lankford has a deal, okay? Lankford has a deal, a bipartisan deal. That once they all they got to do in the House, once Biden and everybody comes through and they sign it in the Senate, all they got to do is sign it and hey, we can come together and get this thing taken care of. Lankford, who is a conservative, he's more conservative than half the Republicans you got. Now, if y'all don't believe your own people, ain't nothing I can say to that. But I believe a bipartisan deal
is not my people.
Be put together.
Not my people.
Hello.
Okay.
All right, let's see. This is
not that
thing.
Okay, so hold on. Hold on, because I know, Sarge, you're going to jump on that. Let's let that marinate for a minute, okay, sir? This is a Republican. And here's what's happening. It's a bipartisan deal. Apparently, the individuals who looked at this idea said, okay, let's try this. But guess what? They don't want to do it. And I think I have a reason to believe why they don't. Because this deal is being presented under a Biden administration. See, this is what I'm learning about politics. Oh, you're going to do that? I can do one better. I'll block that bullshit. We will block that because we don't want you to get the damn credit. It's all about the credit. And I guarantee you, if for any reason Donald Trump wins the presidency, the same deal will come right back up. Am I right or wrong? I doubt I'm wrong.
If they shoot it down, Mike, that's on them. They can do whatever they want, but they're hurting themselves. You know, I mean,
they're hurting the American public. If it's bipartisan, and we know what that means, it's a negotiation between two parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting to see, like, you know, this is probably the best thing we can come up with right now. Hell, we don't have our government shut down so many damn times, I'm losing count. Or close to. But every time you all shut down, you still get your fucking paycheck. Excuse my language because I know you don't know. But you still get paid. And I voted your ass because you're political. Our tax dollars pay your house, your car, your insurance. Our tax dollars pay for your existence, to be honest. What you make money off of is based on us trusting you of making decisions for us. But apparently it's not working, and I blame both sides. And I don't blame the American public for getting upset about it. To a certain extent, because you're not thinking about us. You few hundreds or thousands of people control the lives of millions. And that's a heavy load. But when you can come to a bipartisan agreement and all of a sudden some folks want to say, nah, we can't do that now. We got to wait. Wait for what? Wait for what? For another person to go homeless?
for another person to drown in the Rio Grande River, for another law enforcement officer on the border probably get shot. Another drug cartel to be trying to do a drug smuggle and another individual who patrols the borders get killed. You all have a bipartisan agreement on this issue, but you want to wait. What are you waiting for? I'm going to open up your mic, Sarge, and the thing is that we're, you know, it's already been said on my end. And a few folks, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Please explain that.
We do not need a new bill to secure the border. All Biden has to do is reinstate the Trump policies. He already under existing.
Okay, see, I have to put you back on mute because they already agreed.
Let him speak, Mike. Let him speak.
Okay.
Let him speak.
Huh? Okay. I apologize. I'm sorry. Okay.
Responded right. What? Just because
okay.
There is a bipartisan deal. Now, all I ever hear from people is how both parties are corrupt. But because it's a bipartisan deal, that means there can be nothing about it that isn't right. It's holy writ delivered from the angels above. I've seen some of the details in this devilish thing. One of them is a trigger provision, a so-called trigger provision. Josh Hawley, who is a senator from Missouri, said that he'd seen it. He hadn't seen everything in the bill. He's seen this particular aspect of it. And the trigger provision says that the border won't be shut down until, get this, anywhere between, depending on how the final bill is written, 5,000 and 8,500 illegal aliens are allowed to enter the country every day. They want to codify the entry of illegal aliens into the country. No, reject this horrid document. It has nothing to do with securing the border at all. They don't need another dime. Yes, they can make improvements, but they don't need to do it in this manner. And let me explain something else about this. Look, these people are going to do this thing and say, we got a deal, so we don't need to do anything else. They need to do what Governor Abbott is doing, put troops on the border, barbed wire up on the border, secure the border, and keep them out. Most of these asylum claims are illegal. Over 90% of them are rejected by the immigration courts, 90% of them. What Biden is doing is giving legal residency to illegal aliens for anywhere between 8 and 11 years by releasing them into the country on parole with no background check, no vetting, no vaccines, no masks, no nothing. Just come into the country.
Okay, so I had to mute him there for a moment. I gave him a moment to respond, and I appreciate that. Okay. But he said Josh Hawley. When he said Josh Hawley, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Are you talking about the same Josh Hawley on the day of the insurrection that was standing there on the Capitol steps before they attacked the building and gave like a fist pump to the insurrectionists? He had no fear on his face of what was about to happen. But that's the same Josh Hawley he was talking about. And I've always been wondering, what the hell happened to that guy? I've never seen him since. Never. I haven't seen him talking on the news or defending Trump or anything. I haven't seen him. Okay.
Well,
Josh
out there.
Hawley.
He's out there.
Okay. I haven't seen him. Okay, Janet, you want to respond on this? I know we're going way over time, and I'm going to go ahead and shut down because I just wanted to keep the phone line because I thought it was really interesting, the conversation, and just let everybody share. But Janet, you still there? I said your final thoughts.
I'm here, but I'm
not
well, Michael.
This has been an interesting show tonight. This has been an interesting show tonight because it's gotten really interesting to hear, you know, just point of views and everything. You want to chime in on that? Of what?
I'm not well, Marco. No, I don't want to chime in. I'm not well.
Okay. Well, I think we covered everything for the night. So we did go overtime on the call line. We are not on the internet at the moment. That's how come I went ahead and put the music track in there, because I knew that the internet was going to shut down. But the phone lines are open. So, hey, it will be interesting to see what happens next. Again, with the Fonnie Willis case and everything, will it really take an effect onto this trial? Only the judges are going to, and I'm sure that, you know, the Trump defense are going to really push this and push this, and it might put, you know, everything back until the election is over with. So it's going to be interesting to see how long this is going to last, you know. And I think this is going to be one of the longest, well, the longest few trials ever in history. Here's what I want to say before I go. In fact, I have to look at the show because we're on to the end. I'm sorry. What were you about to say?
Sure. This is Suzette. real quick on the Lankbridge bill. He's got the right idea as far as the zero crossings. The bill hasn't been released yet to the public, but his idea is fine, what he wants to do, except for he also wants to include in that bill money for Ukraine. And that's where some Republicans are having problems with. But when they say bipartisan bill, it could be one person from another party. So if it's the Democrats, it's all Democrats and have one Republican or vice versa, that can be considered bipartisan. So when they say bipartisan, it can be deceiving. But anyway, so yes, that's why Republicans are rejecting it, because of the money that he hasn't wants to include in there for Ukraine and Israel. So
right. But here's
so
the
that's
thing I look where I know Go that ahead. Ukraine's not but I know that Ukraine is not part of part of NATO, okay? And then all of a sudden when Russia does what Russia does, yes, Ukraine is like looking for help from other countries, especially the United States. But one thing I say is that where we have to understand something and do our research and realize that where, what is the scenario here? What is Russia trying to do? And what is China trying to do? China has built islands out in the ocean. You know this, right? Man-made islands.
Yeah, that was under the Obama administration.
I'm sorry?
That was under the Obama administration.
Exactly. Well, they started them. Okay, right. They started that. But see, that's not within, that's not in international waters. Okay, but then they started later on going into international waters. Now, of course, we're not going to start bombing them. Now we're going to be questioning it, you know. And we are a country that where we try to do diplomatic negotiations. You know, once the country starts doing stuff, we're like, well, we don't want to start dropping bombs on them. Let's talk to them about it. Every presidency has done that, right? Even back to Kennedy.
Sure. Right.
Okay.
So right now,
when you look at the Cuba missile crisis, where there could have been a war then, all right, and that's how come, you know, we got that issue. That's how come, you know, Puerto Rico is United States, but it's a territory of the United States. Their laws are not the same as our laws, even though they're a U.S. country. Many other places that are territories, people need to understand, they're territories. We own them because we protect them and they protect us. Cuba the same way. Because Russia could have been just 90 miles away from the coast of Florida. Correct? correct me if I'm wrong, okay? So when you look at the things that, and I'm talking about stuff that's right here this close, 90 miles away, of how that all came about, U.S. Virgin Islands and all that type of stuff. We took control of islands and territories that are so close to the intercontinental United States for protection reasons. We control those islands for protection reasons. We can't let those islands be, you know, under the dictatorship of other countries or control them, which that's what Russia was about to do, is put missiles in Cuba, right?
Yes.
Am I right or wrong? Anybody can speak up.
Yes, yes.
95 miles away. That's just an instant strike. So let's look at this. When you look at where we have military soldiers around the world, hundreds or thousands in different countries, and you know, you look at Ukraine and everything, and if Russia can take over a large area of a country and control it, where it's more neighboring to some of our ally countries, that could be a major threat in our interest. That could be a major threat to our soldiers.
What?
So, yeah.
But we are the ones that poke the bear.
Are you kidding?
Well, I get what you're saying. We're the one, and granted, you're right. But and maybe we should not have. I agree with you on that. But in the meantime, since we're there, right, we need to protect what we. Once you put yourself in a situation, you have to stand by it. Now, for us to walk away from it, that could put many of our military individuals in harm's way. If we want to back away from it, then we need to protect it until we can get our personnel out and all of our investments and everything out of there.
The United States under Barack Obama and the European Union convinced Ukraine to give up its nuclear weapons.
You keep interrupting me.
Under the Minsk Accord, they had to give up their nuclear weapons. Russia wouldn't have been.
It was a question, and I'm trying to finish the question. And every time I try to answer someone's question, you keep interrupting me. I'm just trying to finish the question asked, and then you can chime in. And I let you chime in, but then you come back with something just totally different. Let me answer the question she asked me, and I'm just going to say, in my opinion, I think that I agree with her. We should not be in certain countries doing certain things, but unfortunately, we are there, and we have to take responsibility. But if we want to back out, we can't just drop out of there, period. We got to back out just like in any other situation that America has been in any war, okay? We should not just walk away from it. Look at Iraq. Look at where, you know, all the devastation there and everything. You know how much money goes back into that the United States has to spend to help rebuild the country too? That's part of the deal, right? You all know that, right? You got to assist in rebuilding. You don't just go in there and just mop, you know, just blow up the country and not agree to help rebuild them. So that's Americans' tax dollars, too. That's where a lot of it goes. Now, I'm going to open up Sarge's mic again and let him share, you know, what he has to say. But I'm saying that where, you know, I agree with you, but you know, we should, you know, we shouldn't get into situations. But once we're in it, we have to get out of it in the right way. And if we're going to back out of certain things, right, but do it the right way and understand the consequences.
Sarge, your mic is open.
Okay, you just mentioned moments ago the United States' concern over nuclear missiles being in Cuba 95 miles away from our shores. Now, you just mentioned that as a concern that the United States almost went to World War III over, and I remember that time very well.
Yeah,
now, similarly, Russia has seen the Ukraine as a buffer between NATO countries and the European nation. They have traditionally relied upon, since Ukraine got its independence from the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics in 1991, they have always seen it as a buffer against that. 19 constituent states of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics have joined NATO. There are small ones like the Baltic states, like Lithuania and Croatia and the others, but nonetheless, they abut the border of Russia. They're right on it. So is Ukraine, and it's the biggest of the former Union of Soviet Socialist Republics that no longer, since
correct,
that country no longer exists. It's the biggest one.
You're
right. And all of a sudden, there were Europeans telling Ukraine to join NATO. You don't think Russia sees that as every bit as much of a concern as we saw the missiles in Cuba?
No.
Yes, they
right.
do.
Yeah, you're
and there's
definitely
still,
right.
Still
you're definitely
people,
right.
There's still people right now trying to tell us that they can get Ukraine eventually to enter NATO. Now, and in addition to that, now, some of this is propaganda, but not all of it. There have been innumerable war crimes committed against ethnic Russians in the oblasts, that's what they call a state in Ukraine, of Donetsk and Luhansk. Now, the Russians overstated, but it's still true. So not only do you have the issue of NATO and whether or not there's still a buffer between them and Russia, you've also got the atrocities that were being committed against Russia. They were fighting a war against separatists there, and Ukraine has been pretty brutal in suppressing it, as countries often are when that sort of thing comes around.
Mm-hmm.
So NATO had, I mean, Russia has more than just one motivation to go in there, and for the most part, they've confined their activities to those two Ukrainian oblasts, Donetsk and Luhansk. And right now, it's Ukrainians trying to take them back. And their counteroffensives are being repelled over and over again. Every counteroffensive they made to try to get those provinces back are being repelled. So all of this is what, finally, one more thing. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed that Joe Biden thinks the borders of Ukraine are sacrosanct, but the ones on the southern border, not so much. More military-age males have come across the border and the southern border than Russia ever committed to the invasion of Ukraine. Ever. They still haven't committed the reserves in Ukraine yet.
And if I might add that some African countries, including South Africa, see NATO as the aggressor with its expansion eastward with the Ukraine situation in Russia.
Okay.
In this view of these countries.
Let me go back to what Sarge was saying. Now, Sarge, I have to look at where, okay, so according to Russia, eastern Ukraine was not happy. And that's how come Russia came in on the eastern border, because the eastern Ukrainian individuals were not happy with Ukraine as a whole. That's according to what I've read and what I've heard. Okay, and that's where they entered the country, right? That's where the attack came from. Of course it's going to come from the eastern side. All right, so I don't know how true that is, but that was the report in the beginning of this war.
That's essentially correct.
Again, I got to go back to this, is that where, and you're correct, if Ukraine decided to join NATO, that would be a crushing blow to Russia, because now they don't just, I mean, now they're looking at, you know, NATO, I mean, a variety of countries that would defend, you know, whatever Russia does, right? And look at Russia and China are like, you know, neighbors, and they're like, you know, the best of friends in what they're doing as far as their military goes. I would not be surprised, of which I mentioned, that where here you're getting these new islands being built in the oceans and everything, not international. Well, I guess you call them international waters, where there's no
there's a limitation there. Okay, it's open. It's not where you would fly over, you know, the territory of the United States waters and this or the other, but it's open. But China is building these islands for military purposes. Okay? We don't know how they operate or this and the other, but we do know that they exist. Russia could probably do the same thing. You know, they might be in in union of doing this as becoming, you know, a NATO per se of their own. If the United States continues this, and let's say that, you know, Russia backs out of this and the other. United States is part of it, NATO, you know, whatever Russia can't take from Ukraine, or Ukraine holds on to this and the other, they become part of NATO. That's a threat to Russia and to China, right?
Well, I'll tell you something, Michael.
No.
You know,
hold on, sir. There was someone who was trying to respond. Do you look at that being
it's not a
threat,
to China.
To Russia and China, well, to Russia though.
Okay, so
no.
They have the BRICS alliance.
If Russia moves
this
war,
which is Russia, China, and China,
it's not a threat.
War with Russia or China is not a threat. Is that what you're saying?
No, I said
I
no. My question was this. This war with Russia, okay, if Russia loses this war with Ukraine, would that be a threat to them? And could it be an effect to China? Because you know that Russia and China are pretty much in cahoots to a certain extent. They back,
absolutely.
China backs what's happening with Russia and Ukraine.
And also Syria and, you know, all these other countries. But, yes, it would be a threat to Russia because Ukraine was the buffer. And
exactly.
When you have South African countries, the president condemning NATO and believe that they are to blame for the war in Ukraine, and they've actually outspoken because in the beginning Russia had tried to stop it before it even started. With the peace treaty, and he had South African leaders and other country leaders that were there to witness, and they were going to do it. And at the last minute, it was the UK's prime minister and US, Blinken, had talked Ukraine out of it, and he backed out. Zelensky had backed out of that to avoid war. And so South Africa is not happy right now with NATO.
Okay. I'm listening to what you say. You're saying when you have South African countries, which is plural, what South African
mm-hmm.
countries are you talking about? What I'm saying is that Africa is a continent, and there's there's many countries. What South African countries are you speaking of?
There are exactly 193 member states. In Africa, South Africa, and 141 voted.
Go ahead. I'll apologize.
And
go ahead
141
and
voted in support of the resolution to not have war, to a peace treaty. And we have, out of 193, 141 voted against the war and believed that Ukraine was responsible. And NATO was responsible for egging on Ukraine to go ahead with this war. When there was that boundary, Russia doesn't have access to water, so they can't be building islands, and it's detrimental to their trade, to their way of life, basically, to lose a war to Ukraine. But that's not possible as far as the amount of resources that Russia has on top of that. Besides, when you get these other countries involved, against NATO. NATO's going to end up backing down because there are too many other nation states against the war and believe that NATO is responsible for starting it.
But again, want you to say that one more time. You said South African.
how many, okay, countries are in the continent of Africa?
193 member states.
Okay, and 193 of countries in the continent of Africa.
Yes, they call them member states. That's how they refer to them.
Okay.
But yes.
193 in the continent of Africa. And how many of them you said voted against it?
141.
So that's roughly roughly about 40-something, 30-something countries that didn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And President Nimbia has said the world or the war could have been avoided if NATO had heeded the warnings from amongst its own leaders and officials over the years that its eastward expansion would lead to greater, not less, instability in the region. And it has. You know, they didn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
NATO kept pushing, saying, we'll support you. We'll even make you a member state. How about that, Ukraine? And they're like, yeah, that sounds good. And America is like, yeah, let's make them a member state, knowing they were never going to make them a member state because they don't have the means to support themselves, let alone become a member of NATO and contribute. So that was never going to happen. But they led Ukraine to believe that they would become a member state. And so that's why President Putin was able to bring Zelensky to the table because he explained that to him, that you're being used. And then again, like I said, the UK Prime Minister and Anthony Blinken went and stopped that. And so then they started all over again. And then they're recruiting people. Now they have women fighting in the war because they're losing so many people. It's costing so many lives unnecessarily. But,
right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, look, you guys, we got to go. Time has ran out. I did extend the phone line conversation. I'm pretty sure that Block Talk is going to say, okay, Michael, you went way over your time and everything. And actually, a lot of this conversation has been recorded, and even after we went off air on actually we dropped, and fortunately, yeah, this is all documented, and it did go live on the internet, so we're good. I want to thank each and every one of you so much. See you next Saturday. There's some topics that I wanted to go over, but, you know, the political thing really took, you know, the forefront for 2 hours. But, hey, look, always here on the TMGS, we always got something to talk about, and love for you guys to share your comments and your opinions, and want to thank Sarge for calling in. You know, appreciate him. He's a tough cookie, trust me. he's going to say what he has to say, and I appreciate that. Want to thank Bring It Boy, also Doggone, I don't know how to pronounce this, chimed in. Thank you. Also, my co-host, Janet Davis. Also, Time and Chip. You know, check out Timing when he comes to your town. A great comedian, a great individual, in fact. He's got a new movie coming up soon. And if I miss anybody, I apologize. I want to say Susan, but it's not Susan. Suzette, thank you so much for being on the show this evening. And we'll see you guys next week. Got a new special guest coming up. We got a lot of new special guests coming up in the future here on the TMG. And all right, TMGS. All right. Thank you for taking my wife's call. Okay, Bring It Boy. I always appreciate you guys calling in. You know, you're always welcome. All right, we're going to get out of here. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Peace.